and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Soothe to Sleep Stories on day 54. I'm so glad you are here. Today we will be going through the book of Leviticus, chapter 7, verse 15 through chapter 8 through the end, or verse 36. Then the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, concluding with the eventide portion from God Calling Devotional. But before we begin, let's pray. Dear Adonai, Elohim, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Let it be the key to unlock the mysteries of our Lord Jesus. By the power of your sweet Holy Spirit, we thank you for the revelation of understanding. Open up our spiritual hearts. Open up our spiritual eyes of understanding, Lord. Help us to apply this today to our lives and the lives of others. Bless those who are listening, Lord, now and in years to come. Thank you for anointing this podcast. And more than anything, help us glorify you, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, by the power of the sweet Holy Spirit. Amen. Leviticus, chapter 7, verses 15 through 36. As for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offerings, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a votive or a freewill offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day what is left of it may be eaten. But what is left over from the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. So, if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings should ever be eaten on the third day, he who offers it will not be accepted, and it will not be reckoned to his benefit. It shall be an offensive thing, and the person who eats of it will bear his own iniquity. Also, the flesh that touches anything unclean shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. As for other flesh, anyone who is clean may eat such flesh. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which belong to the Lord, in his uncleanness, that person shall be cut off from his people. When anyone touches anything unclean, whether human uncleanness or an unclean animal or any unclean detestable thing, and eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which belong to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from his people. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat from an ox, a sheep, or a goat. Also the fat of an animal which dies, and the fat of an animal torn by beasts, may be put to any other use, but you must certainly not eat it. For whoever eats the fat of the animal from which an offering by fire is offered to the Lord, even the person who eats, shall be cut off from his people. You are not to eat any blood, either of bird or animal, in any of your dwellings. Any person who eats any blood, even that person shall be cut off from his people. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offerings to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands are to bring offerings by fire to the Lord. He shall bring the fat with the breast, that the breast may be presented as a wave offering before the Lord. The priest shall offer up the fat in smoke on the altar, but the breast shall belong to Aaron and his sons. You shall give the right thigh to the priest as a contribution from the sacrifices of your peace offerings. The one among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offerings and the fat, The right thigh shall be his as his portion. For I have taken the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the contribution from the sons of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons as their due forever from the sons of Israel. This is that which is consecrated to Aaron, and that which is consecrated to his sons, from the offerings by fire to the Lord. In that day when he presented them to serve as priests to the Lord, these the Lord had commanded to be given them from the sons of Israel in the day that he anointed them. It is their due forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the sin offering, and the guilt offering, and the ordination offering, and the sacrifice of peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses at Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the sons of Israel to present their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. Leviticus chapter 8, the consecration of Aaron and his sons. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bowl of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. When the congregation was assembled at the doorway of the tent of meeting, Moses said to the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded to do. Then Moses had Aaron and his sons come near and washed them with water. He put the tunic on him and girded him with a sash and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him. And he girded him with the artistic band of the ephod, in which he tied it to him. He then placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim. He also placed the turban on his head, and on the turban, at its front, he placed the golden plate, the holy crown, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses then took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times, and anointed the altar and all its utensils, and the basin and its stand, to consecrate them. Then he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head, and anointed him, to consecrate him. Next, Moses had Aaron's sons come near, and clothed them with tunics, and girded them with sashes and bound caps on them, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he brought the bowl of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bowl of the sin offering. Next, Moses slaughtered it, and took the blood, and with his finger put some of it around on the horns of the altar, and purified the altar. Then he poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. He also took all the fat that was on the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys and their fat, and Moses offered it up in smoke on the altar. But the bull and its hide and its flesh and its refuse he burned in the fire outside the camp, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Moses slaughtered it and sprinkled the blood around on the altar. When he had cut the ram into its pieces, Moses offered up the head and the pieces and the suet in smoke. After he had washed the entrails and the legs with water, Moses offered up the whole ram in smoke on the altar. It was a burnt offering for a soothing aroma. It was an offering by fire to the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he presented the second ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Moses slaughtered it and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. He also had Aaron's sons come near, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobe of their right ear and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot. Moses then sprinkled the rest of the blood around on the altar. He took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and the right thigh from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord. He took one unleavened cake and one cake of bread mixed with oil and one wafer and placed them on the portions of fat and on the right thigh. He then put all these on the hands of Aaron and on the hands of his sons and presented them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and offered them up in smoke on the altar with the burnt offering. They were an ordination offering for a soothing aroma. It was an offering by fire to the Lord. Moses also took the breast and presented it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, and his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, "Boil the flesh at the doorway of the tent of meeting, and eat it there together with the bread, which is in the basket of the ordination offering, just as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. The remainder of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn in the fire. You shall not go outside the doorway of the tent of meeting for 7 days, until the day that the period of your ordination is fulfilled. For he will ordain you through 7 days. The Lord has commanded to do as has been done this day, to make atonement on your behalf. At the doorway of the tent of meeting, moreover, you shall remain day and night for 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, so that you will not die, for so I have been commanded." Thus Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded through Moses. Mark chapter 11, the triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem, or Yerushalayim, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it back here." They went away and found a colt tied at the door, outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those who were in front and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Baruch haba Hashem Adonai! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Yerushalayim and came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. On the next day, when they left Bethany, he became hungry, seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf. He went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Jesus drives money changers from the temple. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a robber's den." The chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they would go out of the city. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain and does not doubt, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." Jesus' authority questioned. They came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him and began saying to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question and you answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me." They began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But shall we say from men?" They were afraid of the people, for everyone considered John to have been a real prophet. Answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things." God calling, Eventide. Day 54, February 23rd. Conquering and to conquer. Jesus said, "Always seek some conquest, for spiritual growth requires it. In the natural world, you see how necessary this striving is. And in the mental and spiritual worlds, there must be struggle too. So, as you go forward in your spiritual life, you will see always a fresh conquest demanding your effort. Shun stagnation. Never be discouraged if always you see some fault requiring to be overcome, some obstacle to be surmounted. Thus, you go forth with me, conquering and to conquer. So just a recap of what we read today in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 15 through the end of chapter 8, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 11. What was impressed upon me was the number 7 of completion. 7 times the anointing oil was sprinkled, and then consecrating Aaron and his sons in the ordination. Blood on his right ear, on his right thumb, on his right foot. The right ear to listen to the Lord. The right thumb to do the works of the Lord, and the right foot to bring his salvation of peace, of atonement for the sins of the people of Israel. He would stand on their behalf of all Israel. The high priest, he and his descendants as the high priest, would stand on behalf of all Israel for their sins. And then 7 days, it wasn't like, okay, ordination ceremony for a few hours. No, 7 days going through the ordination, being in his presence, lingering. I cannot imagine what that must have been like. And is not the revival at Asbury having a taste, just a smidgen of his glory, of the Holy Spirit's presence, of what the Israelites must have experienced back in Moses' time? I heard that the final service is tonight. Yet the Jesus Revolution movie has been released in the theater, so I encourage you to go see that. So many were saved in that movement, and it was sparked from the Asbury Revival in 1970. But what was different is that the students there went out. There was no social media. So after about 128 hours of being in his presence with prayer and worship, they went and they spread it. And the Jesus Revolution was birthed from that. God knew in his timing, in his ways, the Jesus Revolution movie being released at the same time that the Asbury Revival started and is now sparking a lot of revivals. On this day 54, it's a special day, for it's a special day of prayer for all the colleges in our nation. 20 million students. Oh, I just pray for revival in our churches, in our universities. May the revival that was sparked at Asbury University provoke us to jealousy, to do the same, to humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, cry out to God in heaven, to stand in the gap for those who have been wicked in our land. I believe that the repentance right now is being called to the churches, for the churches to repent, for being caught up in it being about us and not about Him, for being caught up in programs and agendas and time limits, and not letting the Holy Spirit have His way. Oh, pray. Pray for revival, for ourselves, for our communities, for our cities, for our nation. And sweet friend, before we go, if you do not know Jesus, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus who died just for you, and you would like to know Him as your very own Lord and Savior, would you please pray the following prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I would like Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Your word says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, that if I confess out loud, Jesus is my Lord, and believe in my heart, God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. For it is with my heart that I believe and am justified, just as if I never sinned. And it is with my mouth that I confess and I am saved. Please, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Please be my Lord and my Savior. I repent for the wrong life I have lived until now. I choose you and will live for you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are now his child. All heaven is jumping up and down and dancing because you received Jesus into your very own heart, sweet friend. Tell someone you just received Jesus and find a great Christian church and grow in him. He loves you and desires worship from your heart each and every day. You are so precious to him. I'll see y'all tomorrow. Blessings to you.